faces. Pinky is holding the umbrella while Brains hefts a pair of beer casks at me. I take a step back. Hey, what's the big deal?
Beware of geeks bearing beer.
Pinky cocks his head and looks at me madly as Brains makes a beeline for the kitchen and clears some counter space.
We heard about the whoopsie and figured you might want some company.
Pinky and Brains, the ex-flatmates from heck, if not hell. I used to share a house with them, back in the days when I was still seeing Mary. They're a matched couple of geeks, working for technical support these days. Gizmo's department, Dirty Tricks Directorate. Brains does the hardware. Pinky does human factors and delivery flourishes. And both of them do the Pride March around Regent's Park every summer, even though they don't need to be publicly out to maintain their security clearances these days. A voice calls from the kitchen.
Hey, who let that thing in here?
I go back inside hastily. It's mine, as of this afternoon.
Mine, precious.
Brains is bending over my new phone.
Jailbroken it yet? I've been doing some evaluation work on these too. They look promising.
Don't be silly. I peer at the beer casks. He's lined them up next to the sink.
Hey, that's not nitro pressurized. That's right, they're cask conditioned,
Brains says proudly.
Normally, you have to leave them 24 hours to drop bright after you tap them, but with this...
He produces a home brew box of electronics from one waterproof pocket.
You can cut the wait to 60 minutes.
What is it? I pause. If it's a temporal multiplexer, I've got to warn you, last time we had one in here, Mo had to beat the fridge contents to death with a cricket bat. She was most annoyed.
Nope, it's ultrasonic.
He switches it on as he plants it on top of the first cask, and I feel my jaw muscles clench. Ultrasonic it may be, but it's got some low-frequency harmonics that remind me unpleasantly of a mosquito the size of a Boeing 737. Switch it off, please. Pinky is doing something bizarre to the umbrella, turning it inside out through its own center. I do a double take. Is that really a Mobius strip umbrella? And it vanishes, except for a stubby handle which he hangs on the inside doorknob. I blink. To what do I owe the honor?
Iris says you could do with some company,
Brain says blandly, as my phone chirps and does an incoming text shimmy on the counter. I grab it. It's a message from Mo. Unavoidably detained by work, don't stay up. I might not be wearing a ward around my neck right now. I didn't stay in the office long enough to sign out a replacement for the one I toasted yesterday. But it's not my only defense, and right now my this-is-a-setup gland is pulsing painfully. This is a put-up job, right? What's going on? I glance at the front hall, half expecting the doorbell to ring again and Boris and Andy to be standing there, along with a briefing on some kind of harebrained operation.
Don't be silly, Bob, Brain says crisply. Iris just got word that your fragrant wife has been called away to an incident in Amsterdam, and she thought someone ought to keep you company today. The saintly Mo should be back tomorrow. Until then, we drew the short straw.
He gestures at the beer.
Just like old times, huh?
No, it's not just like old times, I snort. Then the penny drops.
Job in Amsterdam? They needed a lead violin.
Oh, I say, feeling very small. There is this about being married to Mo. Every few months she gets called to an unexpected job somewhere in Europe, at short notice, with her violin. A philosopher by academic training and a combat epistemologist by subsequent specialization, she doesn't talk about what happens on those trips, but I get to hold her shoulders and calm her when she wakes in the pre-dawn gloom, shuddering and clammy. Years ago, shortly after we first met, we got into a situation where I ended up rescuing her from... Well, it wasn't nice, and she overcompensated, I think. The violin's an Eric Zahn original, refitted with Hilbert Space pickups. There's a black-on-yellow sticker on its case that says, "This machine kills demons." And sometimes she sits up late into the night, playing music on it that I don't want to think about. I pick up my phone and thumb-tap back at her. Enjoy Amsterdam and take care, XXX. Then I put it down carefully, as if it might explode. Now I've got something to worry about, something to distract me from feeling sorry for myself because of the inquiry, or gnawing over the hollow sense of gnawing wrongness as I see Helen's face melting away in front of my eyes, again and again.
something tangibly threatening to be upset about. If anything happens to Mo, I don't know what I'll do. It's not as if my parents or elder brother know what I do for a living. They think I'm just a junior civil servant. The same goes for Mo, only more so. Her dad's dead, Mum's a ditz, and her kid's sister's married to an engineer in Dubai. We're isolated, but we can confide in each other, do the mutual support thing that so many couples don't seem to do. We understand each other's problems, which means that right now I'm drinking for two. In the fridge, top shelf on the left, there's an open bottle of wine, I say, standing and making for the cupboard to root out some glasses. You guys didn't drive, did you?
That would be irresponsible, Bob, Pinky says soberly. Is this the right bottle?
Give it here. I pause for a moment, bottle poised over an inviting glass. Boris doesn't have anything to do with this, does he? You're quite sure it was Iris's idea?
Don't be silly, Bob, says Brains, taking the bottle and the glass. Boris is on detached duty with a dustbin this year. Here, take this. How about a toast? Confusion to the enemy.
I raise my glass. What enemy? He shrugs.
IT, human resources, the grim march of time. Whoever you want, really.
I'll drink to that,
says Pinky, and I nod. It's going to be a long evening, but it was going to be a long evening anyway, and at least this way I don't get to spend it brooding